The FNRAD Snowboard Podcast is presented by Vans.
Oh yeah, I want it to be absolutely not attractive to snowboarders.
Maybe we need an injection of that, because it'd be interesting.
And I didn't sign the contract, I probably just had it in my bag for a couple months.
And we're all like, oh, that's just banging that a run.
We pushed each other to become better.
Front three tailed it.
Season 5 of the FNRAD Snowboard Podcast is sponsored by Wired Snowboards, The Boardroom Snowboard Shop, Tribute Board Shop in Nelson, B.C., Crow's Nest Barbershops, and Anon Optics. Anon makes goggles for snowboarding, you already know that. I recently rediscovered my Anon M2s, which I put away about a month ago, and then I forgot where they were. I love that I can switch out my lens, snap in a snug fit, and attach my face mask in seconds with these fully customizable goggles. They're powered by magnets. The Anon M2 snapback goggle allows you to swap lenses quickly when the light conditions change. And on stormy days, a quick magnetic connection between your face mask and goggles protects you from wind, ice, and snow. That's absolutely true. I used that face mask when I was sledding the other day. Best day of my life, by the way, which was awesome, up Brandywine with the Simodians. You guys have already heard about it, but Anon goggles are just epic. I think I only rode one lens the whole day. I'm sure that I did. So get yourself to an Anon dealer. Probably going to have to go online with this pandemic going on, but get yourself some Anon goggles. You'll like them, I promise. All right, so it's April 1st, which is Craig Elmer Kelly's birthday. And here at FNRAD, I like to do something special every year to celebrate the life of the most important snowboarder ever. Today, I'm stoked to announce that I recorded a conversation with Olivia Kelly, who's Craig's daughter. I first met Olivia at this year's Absinthe premiere here in Vancouver. And I gotta tell you, she's smart and funny and honestly loves snowboarding, so that's pretty awesome. Olivia moved to Vancouver this year to go to school, and we caught up at the ride for Jake on Cypress Mountain. So happy birthday, Craig. And now, here is officially the youngest guest to ever be on the show, Olivia Kelly, sharing her stories about Jake Burton Carpenter. Do you live in a dorm situation, or do you live in your... You do?
I live in a single room dorm.
Yeah, you've got your own room.
Yeah.
What's it like?
My room's great. I've got a view of Mount Baker from my room.
That's impossible.
It seemed like it was like the perfect fit. Like my mom and I opened the blinds the first day I got there and we were like, oh my God, it's meant to be. You have to be here. My room's great. The bathrooms are kind of gross, but...
And dorm living is sort of wild.
It's... not very private, but other than that, it's okay.
Yeah. When would you have first met Jake? Was there a lot of time between, you know, you being a little kid and when you get involved in snowboarding, or did you get to meet him kind of right away?
I don't remember meeting him.
You were that young.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember like not knowing him. If that makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense.
I'm pretty sure... I want to say that we met at my dad's memorial in Bellingham, but I don't know for sure.
Right, because you were so
little.
Young. Like a baby.
Yeah, like one and a half.
Just a little
almost
kid.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
But Burton was a part of your life from that moment.
Completely, yeah. Yeah. From... as early as I can remember. I've never...
Did you
not
ski?
Remember. I did ski. I did both until I was, like, maybe 10.
Yeah.
And my mom bought me... She, like, thought she was being smart by buying me skis that would, like, fit me for several years and then put me in, like, Nancy Green ski club or whatever.
Yeah.
And I did one day and I was, like, never, never going on skis again.
That's what started this whole thing, was Nancy Green ski club. Was that kids would see someone on a snowboard even flailing down the hill, and they'd be like, "That's what I want to do, though. Not this with the instructors and the gates and the videos of what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I want to just go have fun."
Yeah, for sure.
So by the time you're 10 years old, you're exclusively snowboarding.
I think around that point, yeah.
And then are you getting like boxes from Burton at that point?
Yeah, they were always really, really generous.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom and I, like, could never repay them for, like, how much they've done for her and I. I think it started like before they were even making kids boards. JG made me a board. I still have it somewhere.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was telling someone else the other day, they were asking like, when was the first, do you remember your first time snowboarding? And I was like, no, because we spent 4 months in Chile after I was born, and my dad would put me inside his jacket and ride with me. So like the first time physically on a board, not strapped in myself, was like, had to be like super young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah, I put my kids on snowboards before they were one.
Yeah.
Like, strap them. And you see these videos of the little baby that's
totally
just, like, standing
just,
there.
Yeah.
They don't know
they don't
that
know what's
they're
going on.
Snowboarding, but it's all for the parents.
Yeah.
So I was one of those. But and then I went up Mount Seymour with my daughter in the front pack.
Yeah.
And they stopped me on the second run and said,
you can't do that.
They didn't even just say you can't do it. They're like, if you do that, she will die. I was like, we already did it. She's fine.
She's fine.
If you would rather I didn't do it, I'll just say, don't do it. That's not allowed here. You don't have to scare her. But I should tell you, because I rode the chairlift with your dad in 94, one time.
Right.
It was such a celebrity sighting for me. I snuck up. There was three of us, and he was riding by himself. And I was that guy that went up and just sat on the chairlift beside him. And we had such a rad conversation the whole way up, actually. And the one thing I remember the most is that he was like, oh yeah, Jake told me I'm on Burton for life. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm competing, like,
free riding.
We're tight. Like,
totally.
We're forever friends. And I was like, oh, that's sick. And he showed me the board he designed. He had like the 169 tree. And he was just talking about side cuts. He was very meticulous about his design work in snowboarding.
Yeah,
by
sure.
All accounts, which is super sick. So it's rad that that relationship with your mom and with you just continued.
Yeah, well, I think Jake especially, but Jake and Donna together, like, felt that they needed to maintain that relationship, and like that Jake especially, like, needed to be a part of my life because of like how much he valued their friendship. And so they've always like done an incredible job of making sure that like they know that they're there for me and like always supported me in every way possible, even if we were like don't spend that much time physically together, like they've just always been there.
Yeah. So you're still very close with Donna too.
Yeah,
you were
for
riding
sure
with her like a couple days ago even.
Yeah, I was with her last week.
Does she ask for your grades and things?
No, she doesn't.
How are your grades? Are they good? I love it.
They're not as good as they were in high school.
Right. High school's easier.
But they try to weed you out first year, so they make it especially hard.
Yeah, my daughter was really, really sad.
Yeah,
with
it's
her grades
like
the first two
takes a
semesters
huge toll on your like confidence.
Absolutely.
You come up like, especially people that I fortunately like had a really easy time going through high school.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed like the actual work, which is super weird. Donna always laughs because I think I was in like the second grade or something, and we were having dinner, and she goes, what's your favorite part of school? And her having three boys that are like not into school whatsoever. They were always like recess or gym or whatever, and I was like the work, and she just like would never, she'll never forget that. But yeah, going from like doing really well to like being brought down to a like lower level is pretty sad.
Well, you've also had a really busy year.
Yeah, that too. I think it's hasn't been easy at all, like,
yeah,
continuing through school.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I like not sure if I made the best decision on, whether I should have just like taken some time off after, but I think I've grown a lot in the process of continuing, so.
Yeah, big challenge, you're up for it.
Yeah.
You're bright.
Yeah, and Jake made his assistant, Tracy, like promise that I would finish school, so now I'm really in it. Yeah.
Well, your dad famously didn't finish school.
He did
not. So what's
not
that all about?
Yeah,
why would Jake care?
I think he knows me as a person well enough to know that, like, that's what I need to do to, like, move forward in my life. And I don't have, like, that kind of aside, like, in regards to, like, my dad's situation. Like, he had a whole future in another sector, and, like, my future is probably associated with whatever I take in school. But, yeah, he was, like, I think had one semester left before graduating as a chemical engineer, and everyone was like, what are you doing? You can't drop out.
I really want to go to the University of Washington and find one of his teachers that just doesn't know
what
happened, and have that story of
Where
did that guy go? He was like my star student.
Totally.
And he was just about to be like, you know.
I don't know how he had time to do both.
Yeah.
I think it's so different now, though. But yeah, my grandpa was the only one that was like, nope, I think you're making the right decision. If that's what you want to do, then
I think it was a pretty easy decision, because the money that he was going to make as an engineer and the money he was making at Burton, like, he couldn't make that kind of money.
Yeah, and I don't know if it necessarily was, like, money-driven at all. It was just more, like, he knew that he was good at it. He was driven, and
he loved it.
Actually purely enjoyed the sport. It wasn't for the money, which is pretty different than, like, some people's cases.
Well, I've also heard from Kelly Jo that she was pretty, like, his job, when he had a prospect for a job out of university, out of college, and it was somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and she's like, I won't move there. So that also pushed him a little bit. She was a pretty big force in his life, I think. They were a pretty mismatched, like, they're just so funny.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah, well, they were young when they met,
totally,
right?
Totally, so young, and
he grew into the person he was when he met your mom.
Well, it's just crazy. Like, my parents didn't know each other for that long before making such a big decision to, like, take a full year or two off and, like, make a huge trek. But I think they just were, like, a perfect fit, and it just, they both knew that.
Yeah, I agree with you there, from what I've seen.
Yeah,
you know,
from what I've heard from other people.
You can see in that home video we talked about, where there's a video of that trip, you can see that he's genuinely happy.
Yeah, I think they both were.
When you see sometimes, like, competition stuff, he was, you know, at the edge of frustration because he wants to win. He was a real...
Very competitive.
Oh, my God. I heard Gary Ellis went on to become a world champion BMX racer. World champion, professional BMX racer. Your dad and him were neck and neck for either national champ or state champ at 16. And your dad would just, like, take him off the track. And he was a frustrating person to compete against, is what I've heard from a lot of people. Because he really was that aggressive, and he took it that seriously. But I've never met anyone that didn't also really respect him. They're like, you had to. He was the guy that won, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's you've got that spirit, I guess, too, and now you've chosen prosthetic limbs.
Yeah.
Has that gone? Is that not?
No, it's still something that I, like, really am interested in.
Yeah.
I think I just need to find the right place where, like, the learning style fits me more.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're young. There's
totally, and there's
opportunities
so much time, and I'm in a fortunate place to be able to, like, experiment where I want to go and what I want to do.
But we know you got to finish. That's all we know.
That part is set in stone.
So do you have a Jake story that's just Jake, you and Jake doing something where you just saw it and nobody saw it and he did something cool? Or just some memory of him that, you know, kind of sums up the kind of dude he was?
You know, it was very, like, rare for you to get one-on-one time with him. Like, he always has a great group of people around him. And they were always really strategic about, like, who they chose to spend their time with. But I was fortunate enough to spend time... The last time I saw him, we spent, like, a couple days in Zurich after they had moved there, just him and I. And I think, like, for a while I was, like, kicking myself for not going sooner to see him in the fall, but I ended on such a good note with him that I'm, like, pretty happy on that. But we just, like, had no agenda, really, and just kind of, like, spent time. He showed me around, like, places that he'd been enjoying in the city and stuff. And I, like, could not be more thankful for that time with him. We spent one whole day in, like, this big department store in, like, downtown Zurich. And he's so funny. Like, especially post Miller Fisher, I noticed that, like, he just did not, he didn't care as much about things anymore, and he really truly lived his life to the fullest. But he was also the type of person that, like, if you point something out to him and you're like, oh, I kind of like that, or like, that's cool, he'll like get on the phone and like buy 7 of them. So we like spent this whole day in this store, sold like the most random things. And one thing that we saw were these like handmade Swiss Air beverage carts, like what they push up and down the aisles to like serve you out of. And I guess they had like made them to be storage little things, but they had like full brakes and everything. It like looked super real. And we just were like, oh, that's super, super crazy that you can like buy those and that people would buy them. And then when I graduated in June, he messaged me and he was like, I have a gift for you, like a graduation present. It's not ready yet. It's Swiss. It's like hand, like all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, so I'll get it to you as soon as I can. And then once I moved to school, he texted me and he was like, I need your school address. I'm sending you your gift. And so I was like expecting like an envelope or something. I have to go to like a different building to pick up my mail, and they email me when I get packages or mail or whatever. And it kind of had slipped my mind. So I like go down there to check what I got. And this person, like, they had to get 2 people to lug this thing out of the back and put it in a buggy. And it was this like 5-foot-tall box. I'm like, what on earth is inside this? And then I had to lug it up 6 floors and like use my entire body strength to open this thing. And it's a Swiss Air like beverage cart. And I texted him and I was like, oh my God, thank you. And he was like so worried that I would have been upset that he gave it to me because it wouldn't fit in my room. But great
Where
storage.
Where is it?
It's actually at home now.
Yeah.
It was a little bit much for my room.
Yeah,
I tried.
Yeah, because those rooms are so small.
They're little. Yeah. So I brought it home at Thanksgiving. And my mom had like all these people over for like family friend dinner. And I pulled it out and everybody was so obsessed with it. They're like pushing it around my house and all this stuff. And so when I texted Jake, I was like, thank you. And he was like, you're most welcome. But don't feel too special because I bought 6. So when Timmy tells you that he has one, like, don't get upset. And I was like, thanks. Of course. But that's the kind of thing. Like, he just really lived in the moment and like wanted to share his love and appreciation.
Sounds like kind
everybody.
Of almost childlike in that.
Totally. Yeah, there's definitely an aspect to him that's just very young at heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Of course.
You're the best. And I'm really, really stoked that you are who you are. You're
Thank
awesome.
You. Thanks.
All right. Extra special thanks this week to our extra special guest. Thank you, Olivia. Effenrad shout-outs to Crystal from Intuition Liners and Rob at Wired Snowboards. Thanks to Crystal, I got to drive up the Mount Seymour Road, which is blockaded and closed to car traffic. And I got to ride Rob's personal splitboard from Wired. It's a Wired Trek. I love the board, but I got to be honest, I did not split it into skis. I'm not much of a skier, so I guess I could have just rode a normal board, but whatever. Extra special thanks as well to Craig Kelly and Jake Carpenter for everything they've done for snowboarding. Thanks a lot, guys. Happy birthday, Craig. And be sure to come back next week for another episode of the Effenrad Snowboard Podcast, presented by Vans and brought to you by SIA Productions.